This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, the madness of March continues, and one of the highlights you'll see over and over tonight. Easy does it, Scrappy. One of the highlights you'll see over and over tonight was the game-winning shot for Colorado. Came with a second and a half remaining. Baseline jumper, it went in. It bounced out, it rolled around, and eventually it went in. And Colorado defeats Florida in easily the highest scoring game of the tournament, 102-100. That has just gone final. Meanwhile, Yale holding on to a two-point lead, 9 seconds left against Auburn. Auburn one free throw, missed it, rebound,
it's a tie mess up. Of humanity.
Whose ball?
Who elbows hitting the floor?
Auburn's ball.
Oh, man.
Oh, no. Auburn's going to get a chance to tie it, maybe win it, with 6.8 seconds remaining.
Wow.
It looked like Yale had it. They were up by four. Auburn went down driving layup. They called a foul. Missed the free throw, but a tie-up and Auburn's possession. So Auburn may escape this and get it to overtime, or they could win it on a three. Chris versus the fans is coming up in just a second, but we're going to have to hold off on that just for a moment.
Just for a moment.
We kind of care about the result of this game because the winner of it plays the Aztecs.
I don't want the Aztecs to face Auburn. That big guy scares me.
Yeah. Auburn's got the ball inbounding underneath its own underneath the Yale basket. So if they score, they're right there. They get it in, layup blocked, foul. Wow. That looked like a lot of ball.
That looked like more of a foul than the last call.
Well, that was a foul. So Auburn now will have a chance to tie it at the free throw line. Boy, the guy got pretty open under there.
Come on, Yale. Don't do this to me.
Yale's going to... God, they had this. They're going to be one of these games where Yale's going to be like, how did we let this get away? Two free throws, 6 seconds left for Auburn to tie it. No good.
Wow.
Wow.
Real quick, while they're shooting the other one, Ale says, hey, guys, I'm watching you from Seoul. You're my morning show out here.
So, thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. We are watching March Madness. Has he got to miss the second free throw, I would think. Can't make
on
this
purpose,
one.
Right?
Yeah, on purpose. 6 seconds left.
He did?
He missed it.
Oh, my goodness.
Auburn rebound, block shot. Loose ball, 2 seconds, three-pointer? No.
Oh, man, they did not make it. Wow.
Auburn had about six chances after that missed free throw.
I just envisioned the shot going in right there.
I did, too. But
that's
it didn't happen.
Amazing. No, that was a great block, too.
Beautiful block shot on the inside. Yale beats Auburn 78-76. The Aztecs' chances to go to the Sweet 16 just increased.
Wow.
It doesn't mean they've done it, but you can't tell me that you'd rather face Auburn.
No.
When you could face Yale.
You want to face Yale. Yale?
Auburn looks like
a good team.
Such a terrific team the entire game. Yale has a lot of guts, though. And also keep this in mind. Last year, Princeton went all the way to the Sweet 16 out of the Ivy League.
That's true.
So
I always forget about that.
Yeah, and we've been talking about the Mountain West and how bad they've been in the tournament. The SEC has lost four teams in the first round, including Auburn and Kentucky.
So why aren't we talking about that?
Well, I just did.
Okay, good.
I just mentioned
good
it.
Point. Good
I
point.
I just mentioned it.
Nice
so
point.
The SEC is having as bad a tournament as the Mountain West is. All right, it's set for Sunday now. Aztecs will take on Yale. As soon as we get a game time, we'll pass it along. Ted Leitner joins us, bottom of the hour, from Spokane, where the Aztecs did win. But before all that, we play trivia.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy-do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. What are we playing for, Chris?
Well, we are playing for a chance to go to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want that? If you win, you get into the drawing, and you could qualify to win a two-night stay at the Fontainebleau, Las Vegas. Dinner for two as well. Immerse yourself in the timeless elegance. Fontainebleau, Las Vegas. Luxury resort, gaming, and meeting destination. The legacy of Fontainebleau, Las Vegas is built upon more than 70 years of sublime beauty, unparalleled service, and timeless design. Book now. FontainebleauLasVegas.com. You know, Sean Paul, our guy from Field of 68.
Yes.
He told us, don't look past Yale.
He did.
Because I was asking him, how did the Aztecs have a chance to beat Auburn in the second round? And he said, don't just assume Auburn's going to win. And he was right. Yale won.
I'm going to try to get him on next week since we loved him so much.
Yeah, well, he's smart.
He is smart.
He's smart. All right, let's get to
the rules
of this game.
You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. And if you're a first-time player, let us know. That was a good one. Let us know before we get into the next
question.
We sounded
like we practiced that before.
Yeah. Let me know before the first question. You'll get the first question for free today and start on the second question. All right. If you want to call in right now, 833-288-0973. But we are going to start with Julian. Julian, you are the first player today. How are you?
Pretty good. First time player here.
All right, Julian,
here we go.
Question, go get him.
Number two.
You're two questions away from coveted championship.
What Padres... That wasn't that hard. Shouldn't have been. What Padres pitcher holds the record for strikeouts in a game?
In
one game, yes.
For the Padres.
Jake Peavy
is correct.
Wow. Julian just got that without even thinking.
Julian, do you know how
very
many
good
he had?
I want to say like 16 or 17.
Julian is a player. It was 16.
16 is
wow,
the record.
Wow, nice job.
Now, I will say, and this is not, Julian's correct, but I think, and I have to look this up and I will, I think Kevin Brown struck out either more than that or the same in a playoff victory over the Astros.
I should have said regular
one year
season.
I think.
Okay.
Oh,
wow.
But, Julian, you're correct, and you move on to the final question here, so good luck.
Yes, I do need to make the distinction.
You should just say, yeah, I think Kevin Brown either tied that 16 or broke it. I'll look it up in the next. I don't have time right now. I'm focused here on the game.
You can't get on the computer anyway, so.
Focused.
All right, Julian, you get this right or Chris gets it wrong, and you are qualified for a trip to Las Vegas. I think this one might be one of the harder questions we've ever had, but I think you can get it through my hints. What major sports apparel brand debuted their bat with one major leaguer using it last year? What major sports apparel brand debuted their bat with one major league using it, or major leaguer using it last season?
I'm going to go with New Balance.
New Balance. Oh, that's a good one. Shohei Ohtani loves him some New Balances. Stay there. Stay
How
there.
Am I supposed to know this?
Because you know weird stuff like
Nike.
This. Nike.
Nike? Yeah. Julian!
Wow!
You're a winner.
Julian,
your first time out.
That is
very
incredible.
Good.
Stay right there.
Good for you.
It was, I had no idea they were in the bat-making business. Under Armour.
Yeah, well, I had no idea they were in the bag making. How were your clues supposed to help us get that?
Major sports apparel brand.
Oh, I see. So that narrowed it down to like 13.
So to Nike, Adidas, Under Armour.
Yeah, basically. All right.
So you think the question was too hard?
No, it's a good question. I didn't know it. And neither did Julian, but it doesn't matter if he knows it, if I don't know it.
Yeah, that's true.
So Julian has moved on, advanced for an opportunity to
Go to Las Vegas.
Good on you, Julian. I'm glad. Right. I like when a first-time player wins because I think a lot of people, honestly, I feel like they think, and I could be wrong here, but I think people just in general feel like I kind of need to have experience to win this game.
That's not.
Do you know what I'm saying,
true,
though?
Yeah.
I know it's not true, but I want to be clear that it's not true. people come on their first time and win all the time. It happens quite often, even. And Julian is proof of that. So, yeah, that's why I'm saying I'm happy that he was able to win that. I'm trying to look up the playoff game, but I'm not finding it. The Astros and Padres, it was the...
Let me see. I have.
It was the very. It was the very first game of the 1998 playoffs in Houston. Jim Leyritz hit a home run. The Padres won 2-1. Tony Gwynn had a big hit against Randy Johnson in a lefty-lefty matchup. That was like incredible.
Typical
Tony Gwynn pulling off a magical base hit. All right, I'm fine. I've kind of arrived there now. I'm at the NL Division Series. Yeah, the first game was 2-1 Padres. Kevin Brown got the win over Randy Johnson. Padres scored a run in the sixth inning, set up by Tony Gwynn. Leyritz homered in the eighth. The Astros scored in the ninth off Trevor Hoffman, but that was after Kevin Brown, struck out 16 in eight innings. So, he shares the record in a way with Jake Peavy.
I will make distinctions.
Make a distinction next time.
Actually, Kevin Brown owns the top two spots. I just found them all in the postseason for the Padres. 16, like you just said, and then he has another one in the NLCS against the Braves where he struck out 11. Sterling Hitchcock also struck out 11 in that same year against the Astros in the NLDS.
Yeah.
Man, the Astros struck out a ton against the Padres.
Kevin Brown was dealing by the end of the 1998 season. And I mean dealing.
Yeah, I was only 13. And
I know you were. I don't know that Kevin Brown's 1998 season for the Padres wasn't the best a Padre pitcher's ever had.
Hmm.
And I know Jake Peavy won Cy Young Award, right?
Yeah.
So Jake has got a claim to that. But Kevin Brown was 18-7 that year with a 2.38 ERA. He pitched seven complete games. That's more than most teams pitch nowadays.
Yeah, it's kind of wild.
He also pitched 257 innings and struck out 257. And he had a whip of 1.06. And in the playoffs, he was just about unhittable. Until, of course, we got to the World Series against the Yankees when, for some reason, everybody became somewhat hittable.
Who won the Cy Young over him that year?
In 1998? He finished third that year. Kevin Brown did. I got to go down. Hang on. Hold on. NL Cy Young Award winner that year was... Well, Trevor Hoffman finished ahead of him second.
That's crazy.
And then Tom Glavine won. And I don't know... If I'm, right or wrong here, but maybe Trevor Hoffman and Kevin Brown kind of split up the Padre vote.
Possibly.
Leaving it open for Glavine to win. I don't recall.
I mean, Trevor Hoffman's ERA plus that year was 265, which is off the charts.
Well, Trevor had 53 saves that year.
Yeah, off the charts.
1998 was a good year.
Yes,
a very good year for the Padres. But Kevin Brown was one of the reasons that it was. All right, good on you, Julian. You win Chris versus the fans today. We will take a deep breath and a break. The Aztecs are on through to the second round of the NCAA tournament where they will face Yale on Sunday. As soon as we get a game time, we'll pass it along to you. Ted Leitner joins us soon, as does Mark Ziegler. All kinds of Aztecs coverage ahead after traffic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the second round of the NCAA tournament, welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. 4:20 is the time. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, together in our Odyssey Palace studio. Second year in a row, the Aztecs survived their first round game as a 5 seed. They beat UAB today 69-65 in a game that caused me a heart attack or two along the way.
Yeah.
Aztecs had a 12-point lead. Let that get away. UAB went up by 3 a couple of different times late in the game. Jaden Ledee time and again brought the Aztecs back. Aztecs hit 9 straight free throws down the stretch. And that is stressful enough.
Yes.
But they hit them. And Lamont Butler, the way he changed the game on defense, also scored 15. Ladie had an All-American effort with 32. And the Aztecs are through. And also now for the second straight year, instead of having to draw the 4 seed in the second round, which would have been Auburn, the Aztecs will draw the 13 seed, which is Yale, because Yale beat Auburn just a few moments ago, 78-76.
I can see the San Diego State haters out there, because they are successful now, so they do have haters out there.
Okay.
And I can see them being like, well, the reason San Diego State's getting to the Sweet 16 is because they're playing bad teams in the second round.
There's no bad teams.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry to say, there's no bad teams, number one. Number two, you can say whatever you want about their run last year. On their way to the final, they beat the number one team in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So that should answer any question.
That should.
Or argument that a hater
has. But then they played Florida Atlantic.
Yeah, they did.
But
and
they
Florida Atlantic beat
Alabama.
Everybody to get there. Florida Atlantic beat everyone to get there, and Florida Atlantic's supposed to be unbelievable this year.
Yeah.
They bowed out in the first round today. Northwestern took them down in overtime.
Yeah, that was a bummer for me.
Yeah. UConn won. Well, that's not surprising anybody. And I'm not even thinking of looking ahead. But if the Aztecs beat Yale on Sunday.
Yeah, who do they play?
UConn would
oh,
be next.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay.
UConn would be next unless something wild and crazy happens before then. There are a couple of games in progress right now. All of them in the first half. Texas A&M leads Nebraska 25-24. The other couple of games just got started, so we'll keep you up to date on those, including Purdue taking the court shortly. Who are they playing? Grambling State.
My Tigers.
Can Purdue shake off their demons?
I don't know.
And beat Grambling State?
You know why I am cheering against Purdue? Because my dad picked them to win it all.
Okay.
And I was like, Dad, that was a mistake.
You think?
Purdue's going to lose in the second round.
Let's see.
We'll see.
The biggest story in sports, and Ted Leitner's going to join us from Spokane here in about 10 minutes, so we'll get his thoughts on the Aztecs' win today. Major League Baseball, Shohei Ohtani, Shohei's interpreter, $4.5 million, gamblers. It's got all the makings of a reality show, doesn't it?
30 for 30, yeah, something.
Major League Baseball has now opened a formal investigation into the matter surrounding Shohei Ohtani. Now, did they do this just to try to shut up all the people who say, oh, baseball will never do anything to Ohtani? Or are they doing this with the idea of trying to find out some stuff?
Come on, Chris.
What do you think?
They're doing it to shut us all up, but it's not going to work.
All right. It's a conscrabacy.
It's a conscrabacy. I want to make this clear because I had someone talking to me on DM last night saying that I make it seem like I think he's guilty of betting. I want to make it clear. I don't think he's guilty of betting. What I do find interesting is the wire transfers in his name to a bookmaker in Southern California, and that's a big deal because you're part of I can't remember the term for it, but you're furthering an illegal operation by
sending
money.
But you're not if somebody steals your money and sends it to a gambler in Southern California.
If you have no idea, truthfully have no idea, then that's okay, but
well, then you
it's
should
hard to
then
wire
you,
transfer then without you, his approval.
All right. Here's the problem that Major League Baseball is going to have in terms of this investigation. Ohtani has a right to refuse cooperation because he's a member of the MLB Players Association. He also could invoke his right under the interpretation of arbitration precedents to refuse cooperation because there's a criminal investigation that's already underway. So Ohtani doesn't even have to talk to Major League Baseball. And I'm not his lawyer, but I would recommend that he doesn't.
Probably.
The more that he doesn't say, the better off it is for him.
There's already been so many changes in the news and how it's come
yes,
about.
It's been, the story has changed 16 different times already. If I am Ohtani, I'm not going to talk to Major League Baseball right now. Now, baseball wants to try to suspend Ohtani. See, you're thinking that baseball doesn't want to do anything to Ohtani. I'm thinking,
yes, I am.
I know you are. But I'm thinking baseball just can't do anything to Ohtani. The Players Association is like the most powerful union in, like, on the planet.
It's very powerful, you're right.
There is no way baseball can just say, well, you know, while this is all going on, we think it's better that you sit out. They won't be able to do that, even if they wanted to do that. So I think you're being a little bit unfair to Major League Baseball here.
Really?
Yes, I think baseball would like to find out what happened here, but I don't think they're going to be able to. And so we're all going to be kind of left to guess whether Ohtani took $4.5 million of his own money, sent it to gamblers to try to protect and help out his interpreter.
Ipe. Mizuhara.
Yeah, whatever. Nobody cares about him. They care about
true.
It.
I mean, well, it's
really
true.
There's a story involving Shohei. It's like saying there's Taylor Swift and one of her friends was arrested for shoplifting. I don't think anybody's going to care about the name of her friend.
The question will be, is Taylor holding the wrong people in her friendship group?
No. But anyway, did Ohtani send the money? Did the interpreter steal the money and then send it? What went down? It'll be up
well,
to the...
what the interpreter said first is that Ohtani sent it to clear his debts, and then Ohtani's lawyer said he's lying, and then he said, oh, yeah, I forgot. Shohei didn't know anything about it. Right. Like, come on, guys.
I know. But see, your problem as a conscribiser, your problem is that you do not go along with the laws of the land.
Meaning?
The laws of the land are you're innocent till proven guilty. In your mind, you're guilty until proven innocent. And that's where you go wrong. I don't mind that you think these things, but it's not fair to just assume them.
I never said he was guilty.
Because the law of the land, is that you are innocent first. You tend to make people guilty first.
Trendwave on YouTube says something interesting. The FBI is already involved. This is how it was all found out, is that the FBI was doing an investigation on the bookie, and the bookie, his legal team, ended up finding these wire transfers. Now, I did read something about the bookie, also interesting. He did see Shohei Ohtani's name on the transfers, but he said, I don't really care. I don't care how I get my money. I'm not going to throw myself under the bus to expose Shohei Ohtani. And then he also would tell other people that he does take bets from Shohei Ohtani. So that's another crazy thing.
Well, there's other reports that say Shohei Ohtani absolutely, flatly, categorically denies that he ever bets at all.
I will say once again, I do not think he is betting on baseball.
Well,
I do not think he is betting on baseball.
You think everything else, though. And I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just telling you to pump the brakes because it's way too early to really start making those assumptions.
Can I make a statement about Kate Middleton real quick? It's a serious thing.
We're coming up on the bottom of the hour, but I have to tell you that if you listen to the Scraby Chronicles, Scraby spends half of his time talking about the royal family and Kate Middleton. And it's your show, so you're more than welcome to do that.
I don't know if I spent half the time. But
not quite half. But I'm going to allow you to give an update because I do think that even sports fans are curious enough about the whereabouts of Kate Middleton. And if you hadn't heard, they have finally found her.
Well,
but there's some bad news that goes along with this. So I'll let you update the Kate Middleton story.
Yeah, it's very sad. Very, very, very sad. But she did put out a video today, and it was her saying that she had surgery on something in January on her stomach, and then they thought it was non-cancerous. And then as she was recovering, they found out that it was cancerous. And so she's going through chemotherapy, and that is why she hasn't been in the public at all. And
so you have to,
super sad.
So you have to really, you know, send your thoughts now to Kate Middleton, all of you people, all of you conscribusers out there who thought something amiss was at work.
The only reason
with the
I
royal
did that.
Family, it turns out now that this young lady who's, you know, revered as much as any woman on the planet has been suffering and struggling with cancer.
I'm going to
and
back
now
off.
All of you people like you, Scraby, who said they need to be forthcoming with us and honest with us and they owe us. Now we understand a little bit better.
If they were putting out Photoshop pictures and making up lies, no one would put this. No one would have said, oh, well, she has to be dead. And I did say I don't think that she's dead, but this is very sad and it's very serious. And so I will be leaving it alone from now on.
Nebraska, Texas A&M game underway. 7 minutes left first half. A&M leads Nebraska 35-31. Also 11 minutes left first half. Duke over Vermont 21-16. Grambling and Purdue get underway shortly. If you're just tuning in and you have your bracket handy, the Aztecs will be facing Yale in the second round of the NCAA tournament on Sunday. Aztecs beat UAB 69-65. Yale surprised Auburn 78-76. Ted Leitner from Spokane, where he called the Aztecs victory earlier today. Get his thoughts when Gwen and Chris resumes. Television right now. You know, I love Charles Barkley, Scrib.
I know.
One of my all-time favorites, but I can't hear him right now. But I'm sure that Kenny Smith and everybody else giving him a rough time about Auburn losing. Sorry about that, Charles. You will not get a chance at the Aztecs on Sunday. Instead, it'll be Yale against the Aztecs on Sunday. Yale knocked off Auburn 78-76 after the Aztecs took out, and barely, but took out nonetheless, UAB 69-65. Couple games in progress right now. 9-seed Texas A&M leads Nebraska 40-33 first half. Do you know how many games Nebraska's won in the NCAA tournament, Scrape?
I can't even remember.
Great
the time
powerhouse
they,
school I can't like Nebraska.
The time they were in it.
They've never won an NCAA
there
tournament game.
They've been in it, but they haven't won.
Only seven times, but every time they've been in it, they've lost. Duke leads Vermont 22-16 midway through the first half. Those are the only two games going right now. Coming up in just a moment from Spokane, Washington, where the Aztecs survived, Ted Leitner lives another day, and he will join us after we check traffic. All right, getting Ted on the line here, and he should join us shortly after that heart-stopping Aztec win over UAB today in Spokane. We're still looking for a possible time for the Aztec game on Sunday. Maybe Ted knows, but I don't think it's out yet. Ted Leitner joins him. Spokane, Washington. Beautiful this time of year up there, isn't it, Teddy? Might as well spend another couple of days.
Yeah, I figured it was okay. A little cool last night, but I'm fine, and I can handle another basketball broadcast, and Aztec fans can handle another basketball game. And I know they got spoiled last year. Who wouldn't be? But it wasn't easy. As Dutcher says, NCAA games are never easy. But you just have to win the game, find a way to win the game, and they did that.
For sure. Where on the scale of nervousness did this one rank? When they got down a little bit in the second half, I mean, I got to admit, I was starting to feel a little defeated there for a minute.
Understandable. Understandable. I mean, having watched the tapes last night and other days since the matchup was made, I thought that this was a very talented team. Despite, you know, a conference that's nowhere near what the Mountain West is, and that's the American Athletic, and they had been in Conference USA the years before that, and they were a program winning, you know, 29 games last year, and the NIT championship, and winning the conference championship at their new conference this year. So they were not going to be an NCAA team unless they got an automatic bid by being a conference winner, and they were. And I was very impressed with their size, their athletic ability, and their rebounding. And I think that's where the Aztecs were. They matched them. Look, I think they had a couple of more rebounds, but they each had 14 offensive rebounds. So the Aztecs answered the fact that they could rebound with a team that really, that was their strength. And they did that. Defense was not the Blazers' strength. Rebounding was. The Aztecs answered that. And they wind up with, 17 points on turnovers and get 11 steals. The Aztecs turned it over a couple of more than they normally do, and it wasn't the total number of the turnovers, just that when they got them, they were in the midst of a run where they might have thought, I thought, blew them out in the first half the way they were going, but they were not able to do that. So I really, it was very, very nervous that they were that close. And once again, you know, the Aztecs don't play well with big leads all year long, even in games that they won. They did that. If you remember, Chris, they had the double-digit lead against Washington in the tournament in Las Vegas in November. Then they had a double-digit lead against Cal in Orange County on the neutral floor again. And they've done that so many times. and they blew an 11-point lead in the first half. Actually, they got to a dozen, I think. And they, for some reason, and poor shooting is part of that, but they were turning it over, at not so much in the total numbers, but in bunches. And I think that made it a close game and it kept them from getting rid of that team early on. But that was extremely, to answer your question, that's a 9 on the nervous 10 scale. But they found a way, and they found a way by making their free throws. That's exactly what they did.
And we followed Yastic basketball for 40 years. We always make our free throws, right, Ted?
No, that's actually not true. The quite opposite. The opposite has been, I remember that game against Boise State, and even Trey Kell, a good free throw shooter, and all those guys, they missed like 6 in a row, and they had a 10-point lead there, and they couldn't score and couldn't make their free throws, and they lost that game at home. They have had moments where they're not able to make shots this year, and other years, like you say, not able to make free throws, and they were 8 of 10 in the first half. They were 8 of 10 in the second half, and Lamont Butler, who's had, I don't know where his shooting went, both for twos and threes and free throws, but here's a guard shooting 57%, and he was a little lower than that going into the Mountain West tournament, and Lamont goes 5 out of 6. Ladie goes 9 out of 10, and that was the ball game. If they don't do that, they lose easily by probably more points than they won by. Now, that's clutch on national television, NCAA. You make free throws like that, that is a big-time clutch performance to win the game.
Agreed, 100%. Ted Leitner's with us, where he called the Aztecs 69-65 win over UAB today. I've actually gone further into the interview without asking your thoughts on Jaden Ladie than I planned. I tweeted out right after the game that, you know, third team All-American, please. I know we always feel a little slighted. It's our guy. We watched him all year. But, Ted, that was a first-team All-American performance he put on today. I mean, it wasn't just the points. It was his impact on the game. He ended up fouling out the entire Birmingham team. And he made, you know, ridiculously tough shots there down the stretch to keep him, you know, keep it close. And then, as you said, he had his free throws. He did everything an All-American's supposed to do.
He did. And again, I don't think, because I've done it, and you're doing it, and Aztec fans do it, and it's not whining, because I think when something is accurate, then it's not complaining or whining, it's just stating a fact. And if Jaden Ladie played for UConn, if he played for Houston, if he even played for a Kentucky team that's gone, bye-bye, but was in the top 20, then he would be first-team All-American, because there is not a better power forward in the country. Everybody knows that. Coach Dutcher knows that. And that's just the way it is. But you're on San Diego State. Even the run last year that put them on the – they've already been on the map a long, long time. It was the powerhouse on the West Coast along with Gonzaga. And that's – you can look at that. The winning percentage the last 10 years beyond UCLA. It's Gonzaga and San Diego State. Those are the two best programs. And the truth of the matter is, if he played for Gonzaga – through all these, the way they had been in these finals and championships and Final Fours and all that, he would have been a first team. So the idea that he was second team, other team, like Associated Press, and the Associated Press is normally the one they give the most credence to. He was only third team there. But as far as I'm concerned, you're an All-American, whether it's 1, 2, or 3. And the truth is, if you're on one of those name programs, those Blue Bloods, you're clearly going to be, you know, just like we're on a winning team, you're going to be first team. He is amazing. CBS referred to him the other day as the boulder-shouldered Jaden Ladie of San Diego State.
I like that. Pretty good.
I'd never heard that one before.
No, nope,
but
I like
he
it.
He is just, there is no player quite like him in terms of what he does. And like he says, I don't make him shoot over me. I make him go through me. And you can't go through him. Early on, I thought it was almost, I almost felt sorry for the 2'6'9 bigs and with Lindeborg and Davis, because, I mean, it was such a mismatch against him. He could basically do anything that he wanted. Now, when you do something like that, you are indeed a special player. And to come up like he did in the Mountain West, he averaged 27 points and 10 rebounds in those three games of the Mountain West, and he comes 32-8. Today, clearly, he is the main reason, after all the statistical things we mentioned, that the Aztecs won. This is not just an Aztec for life. This is an amazing, amazing Aztec. Like Malachi Flynn became one of those in 1 year, and Jaden's done it in just 2 years.
Yeah, and he's so soft-spoken. I mean, the interviewer after the game kind of tentatively went up to him, because I don't think she was, you know, she's a big guy. He's kind of intimidating. But then he opens his mouth and he says, well, I just relied on my teammates. It was nice. And, you know, they did the thing. And the interviewer was like, well, no, you were kind of good in the game, you know. And he goes, well, I appreciate that, but, you know, my guys got it done for him. But he's really terrific in that way. Lamont Butler, I'm so happy for him because he has struggled a little this year. He took over the game in the first half on defense. I don't think UAB was ready for what he can do.
And it wasn't just him. It was the overall defense, and Lamont was unbelievable. And it was the steal after steal after steal. And that's where I thought the Aztecs were going to a 20-point lead and end that thing in the first half when they had that run, and they were coming down and stealing them after possession after possession. And then they had the two where Miles Byrd was in transition after steals, and he missed one layup. And then the second one, he lost it. And I thought those 4 points there, and I thought the Aztecs were going to win this thing and blow them out right there. So, you know, making 13 turnovers, they average 11.5 a game, San Diego State. That's not a huge number. But when they got them, it was after they had gotten in transition. And when they're in transition off a defensive rebound or a steal, this Aztec team is in transition even better than last year's team. So they kind of made it easier and helped Alabama get back in the ball game by throwing the ball away at some bad times. But oh my gosh, the defense, they have not. When you play in the American Athletic Conference like Alabama Birmingham, you come out here and you can watch it on tape, but when you're trying to bring the ball up and you're trying to set up your offense, then you're seeing a defense you have literally never seen all year. And that's San Diego State defense, and it came through today. And probably as big a reason as Ladie and everybody else was the Aztecs are known for that. Steve Fisher always said, he'd get stopped on the street and people would say, Steve Fisher, San Diego State, Kawhi Leonard, and defense. That's what they always tell Steve, that the Aztecs were all wide. And after last year, they certainly increased that. And that's what they did today. Those poor guys coming down from Alabama, Birmingham, it was like, oops, 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 I can't get by these guys at the top of the key. They're stealing every ball. It was an amazing exhibition.
Yeah, it was fun. Ted, we appreciate the time. It's always great talking to you. Now, you know Dutch, and we know, you know, this team, I think they catch a break. I mean, you got to call it what it is. They're not going to have to play Auburn, right? They're going to have to play Yale, and Yale's good, but Yale's not Auburn.
No.
But there's no way Dutch is going to let them ease into the second game. What do you think he's going to focus on between now and Sunday with this team?
He's obviously going to go. It's like I mentioned during the broadcast. It's national television. It's the NCAA. And you have a tendency to try to do too much when you're making a play. And that's what happened to Miles Byrd, who's going to be a sensational player. Mark my words. This guy is, his defense has come on. He can rebound. He's fast. He's quick. He can shoot. He's going to be a true Aztec star the next couple of years. And he's just a sophomore. But they were rushing. John Wooden always said, be quick, but don't rush. And I think they were rushing. So they're going to work on that. They have a practice scheduled at the arena tomorrow. They practiced yesterday at the community college because the arena was having its other festivities for the tournament. But they're going to practice, and certainly without question, they're going to continue to work against zones, because they saw several different zones today, and that bothered them. That was part of the reason they didn't keep that 11-point lead in the first half and so forth. And when they increased the lead in the second half to 12, they were facing zones, and that's, you know, everybody should zone the Aztecs because they're not a great shooting team. You should zone them until they make shots to get you out of the zone. But the Mountain West basically is a man-to-man kind of a conference, a half-court conference that plays defense and pounds you. And as a result, they don't see it very often. So it was very effective. And I expect that Yale, they ain't dumb. They're Yale. They'll start to use some of that during the course of the game on Sunday. So the Aztecs, to answer your question, will work on that tomorrow. They take their shots all the time. They work and work and work, and somehow they just go ice cold. I mean, they were 1-for-12 in the end of the first half and still won a ball game. And we just talked about why. Rebounding and Aztec defense.
Do you go to the Spokane Shakey's pizza place tonight? What's on the agenda for you?
You know, I tell you.
Do you know Spokane? You've been there a few times, right?
I have been there. And I came this year. And I came this year when they beat Gonzaga. And there's not a lot downtown. There's not a lot.
All right, getting Ted on the line here, and he should join us shortly after that heart-stopping Aztec win over UAB today in Spokane. We're still looking for a possible time for the Aztec game on Sunday. Maybe Ted knows, but I don't think it's out yet. Ted Leitner joins him. Spokane, Washington. Beautiful this time of year up there, isn't it, Teddy? Might as well spend another couple of days.
Yeah, I figured it was okay. A little cool last night, but I'm fine, and I can handle another basketball broadcast, and Aztec fans can handle another basketball game. And I know they got spoiled last year. Who wouldn't be? But it wasn't easy. As Dutcher says, NCAA games are never easy. But you just have to win the game. Find a way to win the game, and they did that.
For sure. Where on the scale of nervousness did this one rank? When they got down a little bit in the second half, I mean, I got to admit, I was starting to feel a little defeated there for a minute.
Understandable. I mean, having watched the tapes last night and other days since the matchup was made, I thought that this was a very talented team. Despite, you know, a conference that's nowhere near what the Mountain West is, and that's the American Athletic, and they had been in Conference USA the years before that, and they were a program winning, you know, 29 games last year, and the NIT championship, and winning the conference championship at their new conference this year. So they were not going to be an NCAA team unless they got an automatic bid by being a conference winner, and they were. And I was very impressed with their size, their athletic ability, and their rebounding. And I think that's where the Aztecs were. They matched them. But I think they had a couple of more rebounds, but they each had 14 offensive rebounds. So the Aztecs answered the fact that they could rebound with a team that really, that was their strength. And they did that. Defense was not the Blazers' strength. Rebounding was. The Aztecs answered that. And they wind up with, 17 points on turnovers and get 11 steals. The Aztecs turned it over a couple of more than they normally do, and it wasn't the total number of the turnovers, just that when they got them, they were in the midst of a run where they might have thought, I thought, blew them out in the first half the way they were going, but they were not able to do that. So I really, it was very, very nervous that they were that close. And once again, you know, the Aztecs don't play well with big leads all year long, even in games that they won. They did that, if you remember, Chris, they had the double-digit lead against Washington in the tournament in Las Vegas in November. Then they had a double-digit lead against Cal in Orange County on the neutral floor again. And they've done that so many times, and they blew an 11-point lead in the first half. Actually, they got to a dozen, I think. And this, for some reason, and poor shooting is part of that, but they were turning it over at not so much in the total numbers, but in bunches. And I think that made it a close game and it kept them from getting rid of that team early on. But that was extremely, to answer your question, that's a 9 on the nervous 10 scale. But they found a way, and they found a way by making their free throws. That's exactly what they did.
And you know? we followed Aztec basketball for 40 years. We always make our free throws, right, Ted?
No, that's actually not true. The quite opposite. The opposite has been, I remember that game against Boise State, and even Trey Kell, a good free throw shooter, and all those guys, they missed like 6 in a row, and they had a 10-point lead there, and they couldn't score and couldn't make their free throws, and they lost that game at home. They have had moments where they're not able to make shots this year, and other years, like you say, not able to make free throws, and they were 8 of 10 in the first half. They were 8 of 10 in the second half, and Lamont Butler, who's had, I don't know where his shooting went, both for twos and threes and free throws, but here's a guard shooting 57%, and he was a little lower than that going into the Mountain West tournament. And Lamont goes 5 out of 6. Ladie goes 9 out of 10. And that was the ball game. If they don't do that, they lose easily by probably more points than they won by. Now, that's clutch on national television, NCAA. You make free throws like that. That is a big-time clutch performance. to win the game.
Agreed, 100%. Ted Leitner's with us where he called the Aztecs 69-65 win over UAB today. I've actually gone further into the interview without asking your thoughts on Jaden Ledee than I planned. I tweeted out right after the game that, you know, third team All-American, please. I know we always feel a little slighted. It's our guy. We watched him all year. But, Ted, that was the first team All-American performance he put on today. I mean, it wasn't just the points. It was his impact on the game. He ended up fouling out the entire Birmingham team. And he made, you know, ridiculously tough shots there down the stretch to keep him, you know, keep it close. And then, as you said, he had his free throws. He did everything an All-American's supposed to do.
He did. And again, I don't think, because I've done it, and you're doing it, and Aztec fans do it, and it's not whining, because I think when something is accurate, then it's not complaining or whining. It's just stating a fact. And if Jaden Ledee played for UConn, if he played for Houston, if he even played for a Kentucky team that's gone, bye-bye, but was in the top 20, then he would be first-team All-American, because there is not a better power forward in the country. Everybody knows that. Coach Dutcher knows that. And that's just the way it is. But you're on San Diego State. Even the run last year that put them on the – they've already been on the map a long, long time. It was the powerhouse on the West Coast along with Gonzaga. And that's – you can look at that, the winning percentage the last 10 years beyond UCLA. It's Gonzaga and San Diego State. Those are the two best programs. And the truth of the matter is, if he played for Gonzaga – through all these, the way they had been in these finals and championships and Final Fours and all that, he would have been a first team. So the idea that he was second team, other team like Associated Press, and the Associated Press is normally the one they give the most credence to. He was only third team there. But as far as I'm concerned, you're an All-American, whether it's one, two, or three. And the truth is, if you're on one of those name programs, those Blue Bloods, you're clearly going to be, you know, just like we're on a winning team, you're going to be first team. He is amazing. CBS referred to him the other day as the boulder-shouldered Jaden Ledee of San Diego State.
I like that. Pretty good.
I've never heard that one before.
No, nope, but I like
he
it.
Is just, there is no player quite like him in terms of what he does. And like he says, I don't make him shoot over me. I make him go through me. And you can't go through him. Early on, I thought it was almost, I almost felt sorry for the 2'6'9 bigs and with Lindeborg and Davis, because, I mean, it was such a mismatch against him. He could basically do anything that he wanted. Now, when you do something like that, you are indeed a special player. And to come up like he did in the Mountain West, he averaged 27 points and 10 rebounds in those three games of the Mountain West, and he comes 32-8. Today, clearly, he is the main reason, after all the statistical things we mentioned, that the Aztecs won. This isn't not just an Aztec for life. This is an amazing, amazing Aztec. Like Malachi Flynn became one of those in 1 year, and Jaden's done it in just 2 years.
Yeah, and he's so soft-spoken. I mean, the interviewer after the game kind of tentatively went up to him, because I don't think she was, you know, she's a big guy. He's kind of intimidating. But then he opens his mouth and he says, well, I just relied on my teammates. It was nice. And, you know, they did the thing. And interviewer was the interviewer was like, well, no, you were kind of good in the game, you know. And he goes, well, I appreciate that. But, you know, my guys got it done for him. But he's really terrific in that way. Lamont Butler, I'm so happy for him because he has struggled a little this year. He took over the game in the first half on defense. I don't think UAB was ready for what he can do.
And it wasn't just him. It was the overall defense, and Lamont was unbelievable. And it was the steal after steal after steal. And that's where I thought the Aztecs were going to a 20-point lead and end that thing in the first half when they had that run, and they were coming down and stealing them after possession after possession. And then they had the two where Miles Byrd was in transition after steals, and he missed one layup. And then the second one, he lost it. And I thought those 4 points there, and I thought the Aztecs were going to win this thing and blow them out right there. So, you know, making 13 turnovers, they average 11.5 a game, San Diego State. That's not a huge number. But when they got them, it was after they had gotten in transition. And when they're in transition off a defensive rebound or a steal, the Aztec. This Aztec team is in transition even better than last year's team. So they kind of made it easier and helped Alabama get back in the ballgame by throwing the ball away at some bad times. But, oh, my gosh, the defense, they have not. When you play in the American Athletic Conference like Alabama-Birmingham, you come out here, you can watch it on tape, but when you're trying to bring the ball up and you're trying to set up your offense, then you're seeing a defense you have literally never seen all year. And that's San Diego State defense. And it came through today, and probably as big a reason as LaDee and everybody else was the Aztecs are known for that. Steve Fisher always said, he'd get stopped on the street and people would say, Steve Fisher, San Diego State, Kawhi Leonard and defense. That's what they always tell Steve, that the Aztecs were all wide. And after last year, they certainly increased that. And that's what they did today. Those poor guys coming down from Alabama, Birmingham. It was like, oops, oops, oops. I can't get by these guys at the top of the key. They're stealing every ball. It was an amazing exhibition.
Yeah, it was fun. Ted, we appreciate the time. It's always great talking to you now. You know Dutch, and we know, you know, this team. I think they catch a break. I mean, you got to call it what it is. They're not going to have to play Auburn, right? They're going to have to play Yale, and Yale's good, but Yale's not Auburn. Yale's not Auburn.
No.
But there's no way Dutch is going to let them ease into this second game. What do you think he's going to focus on between now and Sunday with this team?
He's obviously going to go. It's like I mentioned during the broadcast. It's national television. It's the NCAA. And you have a tendency to try to do too much when you're making a play. And that's what happened to Miles Byrd, who's going to be a sensational player. Mark my words. This guy, his defense has come on. He can rebound. He's fast. He's quick. He can shoot. He's going to be a true Aztec star the next couple of years. And he's just a sophomore. But they were rushing. John Wooden always said, be quick, but don't rush. And I think they were rushing. So they're going to work on that. They have a practice scheduled at the arena tomorrow. They practiced yesterday at the community college because the arena was having its other festivities for the tournament. But they're going to practice, and certainly without question, they're going to continue to work against zones, because they saw several different zones today, and that bothered them. That was part of the reason they didn't keep that 11-point lead in the first half and so forth. And when they increased the lead in the second half to 12, they were facing zones, and that's, you know, everybody should zone the Aztecs because they're not a great shooting team. You should zone them until they make shots to get you out of the zone. But the Mountain West basically is a man-to-man kind of a conference, a half-court conference that plays defense and pounds you. And as a result, they don't see it very often. So it was very effective. And I expect that Yale, they ain't dumb. They're Yale. They'll start to use some of that during the course of the game on Sunday. So the Aztecs, to answer your question, will work on that tomorrow. They take their shots all the time. They work and work and work, and somehow they just go ice cold. I mean, they were 1-for-12 in the end of the first half and still won a ball game. And we just talked about why. Rebounding and Aztec defense.
Do you go to the Spokane Shakey's Pizza place tonight? What's on the agenda for you?
You know, I tell you.
Do you know Spokane? You've been there a few times, right?
I have been there. And I came this year. And I came this year when they beat Gonzaga. And there's not a lot downtown. There's not a lot to do. There's a couple of restaurants. We went out to one last night, the broadcasters types, and it was good. The team went out to a steakhouse last night, and they're going to another steakhouse tonight. Got to get that protein.
No, of course, so yes. Good excuse. Yeah. Good excuse for a steak. Yeah. Got to have that protein.
And, and that's it. They're going to take them out. The team's going out for steak tonight, and then, like I mentioned, they have the practice tomorrow. But of course, what you mentioned is totally true. Auburn is a terrific team that plays really good defense, and so does Yale. But in terms of the athlete and the team, there's a reason they were seeded the way they were seeded. Auburn was number four, and they're gone. So just like last year, Chris, when they didn't have to face a good, unlike this year, a good Virginia team, when they had Furman instead, when Virginia got upset, and that started the ball rolling, and now they get a break. No Auburn, Yale. And that is certainly better, and San Diego State is better than the Ivy League champions.
Hopefully they will prove that on Sunday, Ted. I say it all the time, the Aztecs basketball right now is the gift that keeps on giving, and we just keep enjoying the ride. Thanks so much for checking in with us. It's really nice of you to do, and hopefully we'll get a chance to speak again next week ahead of the Sweet 16.
Anytime, Chris. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it much as well. Ted Leitner, voice of the Aztec basketball. Great to catch up with him. Very nice of him, because I know he's got a lot on his plate.
Yes, he
for
does.
For a Friday night in Spokane.
Yes, he does.
He sounded like it. He's like, well, they have two restaurants. I don't know. Well, maybe he'll go to the other one tonight. I guess that's what you do. They don't play till Sunday. So, I mean, you know, he's got some time to kill.
That is over the next few days. How far away is Spokane from Seattle? Would you go driving there?
No, Spokane is on the other side of the state.
I know it's near Idaho.
Yeah, well, Seattle's on the west coast, so it's not very close.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Not much.
Oh, yeah, it's 4 hours.
Yeah, it's a ways away. All right, good to have Ted on. Mark Ziegler's going to catch us up with a little his commentary after that game. We'll get him in the 5 o'clock hour. Look forward to that. Two games in progress right now. Right before halftime, Texas A&M has already scored 58 points in the first half. That's impressive.
Gives them to Colorado State.
Yeah, Colorado State scored 44
in
the whole
game.
Yeah, Texas A&M leads Nebraska 58-43 right before halftime. 15-point lead for the Aggies. Duke over Vermont 28-23. Those are the only two games going right now. Back with a happy hour next.
No, we need to kill 10 more seconds.
I went too early?
The music that I played during Ted's interview was the outro music. I did not mean to do
that. Why did you play that?
I didn't play it. No, I started the timer too early.
Operator error.
It was.
Operator error.
It was. You know what?
There's the music.
I'm going to admit when I'm wrong from now on, Chris.
Yeah. Let's turn over a new leaf. What the hell?
Why not?
All right. Texas A&M at halftime leads Nebraska. The score is 58-44. Happy hour. We're happy. The Aztecs won. And more to come on Gwen and Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.